If you would, turn your Bible this morning to Psalm 33. Please open your Bibles and turn to Psalm 33 this morning. I'm going to read verse 10 and 11. And if you would, read as the church verse 12. And you may look on the screen if you would like. Psalm chapter 33, verse 10. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart to all generations. Now if you would read together. Blessed. Let's pray. Lord, as Christian, born-again believers, and as American citizens, we ask, Lord, a mighty move of Your Spirit in our land. We need a spiritual awakening. We need a spiritual revival in the church in America so that our nation can return back to You. Help us to be the salt and the light that You have called us to Yourself to be in this world. Help us to realize because You live, we can face tomorrow no matter what happens. And may it be for all of Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. November 6th, Tuesday, is an important day in America. You and I, if you haven't already voted early, you and I have an opportunity as American citizens, the freedom to go and vote for a presidential candidate and also for laws of our land, amendments in our state and in our land that we can have a right to. As American citizens, the privilege to go and vote. If you have served in our nation's military or in law enforcement, raise your hand at this time. I want to say thank you to you. Thank you, and let everyone look around. These men and women have served our country for you to have the right to exercise your freedom to go and vote. Okay? So what a privilege we have as Americans. Freedom. Freedom. And November 6th is a very important day because we get to vote for the President of the United States of America. And we would dare say as American citizens, because you and I believe in American exceptionalism, we're different than any other nation on earth today. They need to copy us instead of us trying to copy Europe, because Europe changes governments every 15 or 20 years. Ours has been a government for over 200. But we have the opportunity to vote for, we would dare say, the most powerful leader on earth, the President of the United States of America, Tuesday. Now, as your pastor, and as a pastor that teaches and preaches God's Word, I would like for you and I this morning to look in God's Word and see what God says on certain topics that I believe the election is about Tuesday. Now, I want to say this, America is in trouble. We're seeing judgment after judgment in America today. I do not know when Jesus is coming back, but it appears and it seems in my spirit that we're in the end times. We're in the last days. And either the church is going to be the church again in America, or America's going to be no more. We're in trouble. And I love America. I do. I'm a Christian first, though. And being a Christian is what makes me the American that I am. America has turned away from God instead of turning to God. And I believe that in the days ahead, that family is going to be more important to us than any other thing. Your families need to come together, because it's going to be important. And however strong a church is how strong the families that make it up. Family is going to be very important. And we're living in a day that family is under destruction in America. It's going to be important. So thus says the Lord, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Our nation is quite evident. We began as a nation of Christians. Look it up. You study it yourself. The first people that came to America, why did they come over here? I'm hope it's being taught in school still. The pilgrims came for what? Religious freedom. They did not want a religion that the King of England told them how to serve God. They were called Puritans. The founders of our forefathers, our founders, were Christian. 29 of them seminary graduates that signed the Constitution. They were evangelicals. They believed in Jesus as the Savior of mankind. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. This word Lord here in Psalm is a very special word of God, name of God. It means He is all to you. He is your master. He is your leader of your life. And in the New Testament, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So, our nation is Christian. It was founded as Christian. But you know what? I agree with President Obama. He said our nation is no longer a Christian nation. I agree with that. I'm ashamed to say, it began as Christian, but now it's a pagan nation. But the God says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. The word Lord, when they would scribe it and write the Old Testament, the scribes, when they came to this specific word, they would write the word and then worship God and not use that pen anymore, but would get a new one, because that name for God was a special holy name, and they would not even pronounce it because it was so holy to them. And the early Christians died because of this name for Jesus Christ. They would not bow down to Caesar and call him Lord, because Christ was their Lord. And you're not saved this morning unless Jesus is your master. Many times we want a Savior to save us and to give us things, but when Jesus is your Lord, you give your life to Him. You belong to Him. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, that they belong to Him. And He doesn't belong to them, but they belong to Him. Blessed is that nation The Word of God says, the Word of the Lord says, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit. But by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Yes, a strong military is important. Yes, the economy is important. Yes, education is important. But they are not our God. The Lord is our God. And His Spirit in our hearts and lives, that's the power that has made America great. It's the Lord. But when we look to these other things, it is humanism. And humanism becomes our God instead of the Lord. Yes, they're all important. But when God is like in our individual lives and in our families, when we put first God and seek His kingdom first, all the other things come together in the right place. Secondly, thus says the Lord, righteousness exalts a nation. Righteousness exalts a nation. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34. Proverbs 14:34 says this. If you would, turn there or look on the screen. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. When America calls evil good and good evil, righteousness is no longer part of our nation. When we exchange light for darkness, righteousness no longer is part of America. When the Supreme Court threw out prayer, made abortion legal, that Supreme Court's going to have to answer to a holy God. I don't care who they were. They're going to have to answer to a holy God. Because righteousness exalts a nation. And sin is a reproach to any people. Also, thus says the Lord, Israel and Jerusalem are important to God. Israel and Jerusalem are important to God. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Genesis chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. The Lord speaking to Abram, He says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham, the father of faith, speaking of his descendants, and speaking of his spiritual descendants, and you and I as Gentile people have been grafted in. We have been adopted in the family of God by faith, it says in Galatians. Turn with me to another passage of Scripture in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2. Zechariah chapter 2, verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, He sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. Also read on verses 12 and 13. And the Lord will take possession of Judah as his inheritance in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before the Lord, for He has aroused from His holy habitation. Yes, Israel and Jerusalem are important to God. They are so important that, have you read Revelation lately? They're mentioned all in the last days, and look what's happening today. That little country about the size of Louisiana is in the news daily. Jerusalem is in the news daily. They are important to God. They should be important to you and I. Because our faith, the Christian faith, our roots began in the Jewish religion. Christ, the Messiah, came. He was a Jew when He walked on earth. Our roots, the Messiah, was a Jewish carpenter. Jerusalem and Israel are important. Please listen to me. The Bible teaches in the New Testament, to be saved, you must place your faith in Jesus Christ and be washed by His blood. That's the only way. You're not born into that. You must be born again into it. And a true Jew now is those who are circumcised in the heart. But what I am saying, Israel and Jerusalem are very important to God. They are the apple of His eye. And read of those who will be saved in the last days from the tribes of Israel in Revelation. They should be very important to us. By the way, Israel is the only democracy over there. Duh. Come on now, think a little bit. They should be very important to us. Also, please stay with me, because I'm going to preach the grace of God before it's all over with, okay? But the Lord hates hands that shed innocent blood. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. Verse 16. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among the brethren. One of those things that God hates, hands that shed innocent blood. I cannot imagine anything any more innocent than a baby in a mama's womb. What evil person would kill a baby in a mama's womb? What evil person would vote for partial birth abortion, the worst kind of abortion? You want to talk about rights? Talk about the rights of a baby. God forgive America, please. What more innocent can it be than a baby? Says in Romans chapter 1, also in 1 and 2 Timothy, that women will leave their natural affection and love. And for a woman to abort a baby, their own baby, they have left their natural love. If you want to defend rights, defend the rights of the unborn. Aren't you glad your mama didn't abort you? We can go through all the scriptures. God knows people in their womb. He knits us together. Thou shalt not murder. and the same people that are for abortion will throw you in prison if they think you threw something in the ocean that a whale ate and killed the whale. That's how silly and evil it can become. Hands that shed innocent blood. Another, thus says the Lord. Sexual immorality is sin. The nation suffers because of it. We need to stop ignoring things in the church. Sexual immorality is sin. All kinds of it is sin. We are to flee sexual immorality. It's an idol even. And we are the temple of the Lord. And we are to flee such things. Flee youthful lusts. Leviticus chapter 18. It'd be good to read those Old Testament passages. By the way, if two men are fighting and accidentally hit a woman that is with child and she loses that baby, you know what they're guilty of? Murder. Murder. But Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. We will begin in verse 20. Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile yourself with her. And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech. Nor shall you profane the name of your God, I am the Lord. That's sacrificing your children for a blessing or convenience or something other than, and that's what abortion is. Verse 22, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Nor shall you mate with any animal to defile yourself with it. Nor shall any woman stand before an animal to mate with it. It is perversion. Now, as a nation recognizing same-sex marriage, what stops it there? Why not marry some kind of animal? Why not have many spouses? Why not marry a child? See how perverted, and even in God's Scripture, it begins and it snowballs. Do not defile yourselves with any of these things, nor by all... But listen, please. For by all these the nations are defiled, which I am casting out before you, for the land is defiled. Therefore I visit the punishment of its iniquity upon it, and the land vomits out its inhabitants. Sexual immorality is sin, and the nation suffers from it. Whether it's adultery or homosexuality and all the above and vice versa and all the perverted things that mankind can think of, the nation suffers. Suffers. We're under judgment. There is a show on MTV called Jersey Shore. I won't ask for the hands of the people who watch it. But this show is of young people. I guess they're in their 20s. They look worn out to me. They look my age in their 40s to me, but I think they're in their 20s. And they run around partying all night. And they sleep with each other. And it's called Jersey Shore. What happened to Jersey Shore last week? Hurricane Sandy blew it away. They can't call it Jersey Shore no more. They can call it Jersey Destruction. Think of the judgments upon America that we have seen over the years. And even in the Bible Belt now, F5 tornadoes wipe towns clean off the map, because even the Bible Belt is going to the ballparks and going partying and having their pet peas instead of getting in the house of God and serving Him and raising up the family that loves Jesus Christ. We're under judgment. Sexual immorality is sin. The nation suffers from it. How would any Christian vote yes for any of these? If you call yourself Christian. To me, being a Christian is being led by the Holy Spirit of God, not perfect, but a Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and Jesus is Lord, and God's Word is the authority. That's what a Christian is, following Jesus. And how could a Christian go against, thus says the Lord, blatantly? Y'all ready for some good news? 2 Chronicles 7:14. The Bible says, God says, and is talking to Solomon, He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's us. If His people will do it. It's going to require turning from sin, turning from our idols, and anything that comes between you and your relationship with Jesus is an idol. It don't have to be a little statue. Little children, flee from idolatry. So what can we do? Turn back to Jesus, our first love. Repent. Turn from sin. Turn to Christ. You be the light where God has you every day. You be the salt of the earth that Christ has called you to be. You be the salt. You be the light of Jesus. Y'all want some more good news? 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9-11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice, and that is their lifestyle, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you want to come up in here and argue it's okay to do these things, read this. Any of it, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But here's the difference. And such were some of you, because they repented. They turned to Christ, not in their pride saying, it's okay to do this because I'm so spiritual. No, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Such were past tense. Such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's the good news this morning. Christ can save us. He can save our nation. He can save your family. He can save you. Such were some of you. You were washed. And it's all by the Spirit of God. That's the good news. It's called grace. And it's called mercy. It's called the love of God. So what to do? There's two places. One's called heaven, in the very presence of God for all eternity. The other place is called hell. And then that will be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. There's two places. And those who are in Christ, who die to themselves and live in Christ, will forever be with Him. The other place is where the other people will go. And they will be judged according to what they have done. Everyone say, ouch. You want to be judged according to what Christ has done for you. Follow Jesus. That's the good news. Come to Jesus now. Pray for our nation. You be the salt and light where you're at and pray. You raise a godly family. You bring them to church. You serve the Lord Jesus. You be the salt and light. Think of Noah. Noah and his family, the only ones who was righteous in the eyes of God. He walked in the ways of the Lord. God spared Noah and his family. You can be a Noah today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so much for Your Word. And yet, it corrects, it rebukes. But yet, it gives us grace and comfort. God, we even say thank You for judgments, because it may bring people back to You. But I do know in Revelation that the judgments of God even hardens hearts more, and they refuse to repent. God, may we repent right now while there's still time. Lord, for those who do not know You personally, please may they fall on Your grace this morning and be saved for Your glory. Amen.